This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, it's Wednesday, the 17th of August, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, we continue to put a spotlight on the littoral combat ship scandal to make sense of how such a saga could happen right under the nose of the Malaysian government, because calls for accountability have been making headlines since the release of this 250-page report by the Public Accounts Committee. Since then, more than 6 billion ringgit has been paid out with no single vessel delivered. And one of the issues highlighted by the PAC was on the changing of the LCS ship design from Sigma to Gowin.
Yeah, and these were against the Navy's wishes, but was approved due to recommendations from the project contractor, which was Bauxite Naval Shipyard. So why was the procurement not fulfilling the needs of the end user in this case? The latest development now involves a proposal from MINDEF, the Defence Ministry, for the Armed Forces Fund Board, better known as Lembaga Tabung Angkatan Tentera, that's LTAT, to take over BNS, the company that's been undertaking this project. But should the statutory body that manages the pension fund for the Malaysian Armed Forces take on this responsibility? And what lessons can we draw from here?
For some answers, we speak to economist Dr. Nung Sari A. Ruddy. Good morning, Dr. Nung. Always good to speak to you. Now, let's rewind a little bit. So the Royal Malaysian Navy originally chose the Sigma-type ship over the Gowin type, but the designs were changed at the suggestion of Bauxite Naval Shipyard. How do we prevent such a scenario from happening in a private finance initiative in Malaysia?
Morning. So, no, Xiaoning, this is not a private finance initiative, actually. This is a procurement. So, the client is the Navy itself, PLDM, but the project owner is MINDEF, the government. So the project owner must have made the decision to do something other than what the client wanted, and whether or not it's driven by BNS, but actually the decision was made by MINDEF. So this is a direct procurement. It's fully funded by the government's budget. So it's not a private finance initiative. And the blame should be, if there is to be blame, it should be on the project owner, MINDEF.
So now MINDEF is proposing that LTAT take over BNS, the company that's undertaking this project. Do you agree with this, or should there be a revamp of the roles of these companies or GLCs? What do you see the solution is out of this?
No, I mean, LTAT is the military's EPF.
Right.
It's not a big fund. It's actually less than 10 billion fund for about 110,000 servicemen and servicewomen. It's in bad shape, actually, in my view. You know, half the funds, the 9-some billion, is being plonked into just two companies. It's highly risky sort of thing, and it's concentration risk and so on. So to ask them to increase the risk further by taking over the naval shipyard, it's a bad proposal.
Meanwhile, the Ministry of Defence Secretary General said that this LCS project has to continue to protect the interests of LTAT members, as termination will have great impact on the Army's fund. But does this make any economic sense, actually, for the project to continue?
In the first place, the Ministry of Defence should have not allowed several things. Should not have, because they are the ones who oversee LTAT, right? Mm. So they should not have allowed LTAT to actually plonk half its fund into just two companies. That's one. That's on their lap for allowing that and not changing that. And they are also responsible for actually awarding the contract to BNS to make it even worse. So their interest is to protect the nation's defense, right? National security, and also the welfare of the servicemen. The issue about vendors and whatnot, it's not their concern, right? Their issue is to protect the fund and protect the national security. So I totally don't agree with I don't see any way out. I think out of this, they say another bailout. So there you go again, another spending of taxpayers' money to bail out this bad oversight and decision and policies by the government.
Dr. Nong, this is extremely, extremely frustrating for taxpayers like you and me. I mean, this keeps happening. If you remember, there's the Scorpion submarine, which involves the same French company, DCNS, and the same ministers and same politicians. There are calls that these should go before Parliament to get some oversight. Is that a solution, do you think?
No, this is highly frustrating. I agree with you as a taxpayer, because we keep on doing the same things again and again, knowing very well that it does not bear any fruit. So that's a definition of insanity. And there don't seem to be any accountability to this sort of thing. So one of the ways to actually improve it, yeah, sure, make Parliament, the role of Parliament, the oversight role, to be more extensive. But there should also be consequences, right? For having bad policies, for having poor oversight. It's not just corruption, you know. It's actually all these decisions that have been taken at implementation and oversight, and also policy direction. There should be accountability on those things. Of course, you can subject statutory entities to parliamentary scrutiny. That would improve. Anyway, we got this thing out because the PAC looked at it.
Do you think we could have perhaps found out this situation earlier if we, in the first place, had a whistleblower program that provides confidentiality for alleged malpractices in the government space?
I thought they already have this public, the whistleblower kind of mechanism, even within the government. It just doesn't work. So the lesson here is actually people who are in a position to say things, to do things, should do and say what they should do. I mean, it's all saga. The only guy I admire is the Navy chief, right? The guy who wrote 10 letters to all, you know, he said, I wrote to everybody who should be listening to me, from PM, minister, and everybody else. And there should be more of people like him. These people who receive his letters, they should be made accountable, right?
Yeah. How do we then get this culture of accountability in government?
No, we should start somewhere. Right? I mean, this is 2020, for God's sake, and we've done this many, many times. this is public money and public interest. People should just either say their objection, do it, or they should resign, right? Not be part of it.
Yesterday, our former Navy Chief Admiral Tan Sri Ahmad Ramli Mohammad Noor, he was charged with 3 counts of criminal breach of trust. What does it say about the integrity of our military, seeing as they are responsible for national security right now?
He wasn't charged as a Navy Chief, actually. Yeah. Anyway, there's a court case. I just said some nice things about the Navy Chief, actually.
Yeah, no,
this
is the previous one.
Yeah, but there's a case there, so I wouldn't say anything there. It's an ongoing case, so I wouldn't comment on that case specifically.
Okay, do you think that it really boils down to a lack of transparency when it comes to awarding contracts? Is that the real root cause here? Because it's, you know, is that why we keep coming back to this problem again and again? Can we institutionalize this process?
No, we should actually make it more transparent. And then more people looking at it, the better it is. You see, in this case, LTAT itself is not in good shape, right?
Yes.
Then the government took a decision that made it even worse by awarding a 6 billion, 9 billion ringgit project to a subsidiary of them. And that was a bad decision, isn't it? Then the oversight on the implementation of the project was poor at both the ministry level as well as at the company level, at the contractor level. But if this sort of progress in disbursing government's development expenditure is scrutinized even closely by Parliament, by not just afterwards, like the Auditor General looks at it exposed, right, afterwards, and then present it to the Public Accounts Committee. But there should be like reporting on major procurements, like 9 billion ringgit procurements. So there should be more oversight.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was economist Dr. Nong Sari A. Radhi giving us his views on how to prevent something like the LCS scandal happening again. Unfortunately, accountability not very common in Malaysia. Up next, the Breakfast Grill, which will be happening after the 8am news bulletin, where I'll speak to Ishar Ismail, acting CEO of Johor Petroleum Development Corporation. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.